Well, hello. Good evening. All right. What's good? It's Sky. I'm Fly. I am Thy. And with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sylves. VA all day, two up, two down. I'm here. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, but I'm here.
We gonna be here. We all here. And we here with people. But we gonna get into that in a second. And who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
Okay, and so today we got like a bajillion people in here. We're doing a black supporter, people of color supporter group roundtable. And so, I don't know, what is the... before we introduce people... What is, I guess you got a fan, but then like a supporter, they go hard in the paint for their team and situation. I see y'all looking at me like I'm crazy with that definition. But we're gonna talk to some supporters across the soccer space, WOSO. Some also do Broso, Manilas. But then we're gonna talk to supporter groups on Rose Room and also Chicago Black Fires. We about to, have a good roundtable discussion with our peoples. And so I guess we can do introductions. Let's see. Let's start off with who's next to me. Phil, what's good?
How are you doing? My name is Phil from Black Fires, co-founder. And I'm all right. I am doing just all right. Trying to get through and do the best that I can. So that's all.
All right. Let's see. To your right is Mama Riz. Wait, to my right, I'm tripping. Left, right, same thing.
Right, same thing. I am Mama Riz. I am one of three other co-founders for Rose Room Collective. And I am also here. I'm tired, but I'm here.
Appreciate you. And then below me is one Jake.
Hello, I am Jake, Black Fires, co-founder, other co-founder. Tired but here is a good motto.
All right. And then beside him is one professor, I was about to say reverend, same thing. Professor Jermaine.
Not a reverend, please.
They're not at all the same thing.
It depends.
Right. Preaching. Hello everyone. I'm Jermaine, Black Herons co-founder, one of many co-founders. Happy to be here. Thanks, Sylves, for inviting me.
Yeah, for sure. And Jermaine's gonna help moderate this little conversation also. And then one legendary, famous, worldwide known, Donald Wine. Speak to us.
You just took my introduction. I'm Donald. Besides all the legendary famous stuff, I'm in a whole chat with famous people. But I'm on the national board of the American Outlaws. I helped found AODC and am a recovering local supporter. I'm sure we'll discuss all that.
Oh, we're gonna get to that because there's a few of there's few of those. All right, who is this? My Dougie. What's good? Introduce yourself, sir.
Hello, I am Doug Reyes-Cerone, co-founder of Rose Room Collective as well, along with Mama Riz and a couple of other friends here, and tired but existing, basically what I got.
All right. Well, I mean, you here. Hey. And then last but not least, the legendary in the bar, ordering shrimp and grits. See, that's what you get when you order before we start. The one and only Ebony Navidad.
Speak to people. Them grits are about to be good. I just want you to know that. I'm Ebony. I go to soccer games. I'm the president of AO Raleigh. And yeah, that's what I got.
All right. Appreciate you. All right, so we're going to get started. am I going to go first? Am I going to ask the first question? I guess I'm going to ask the first question. So what has it been like as black people, even if you're Shea Butter adjacent, is people of color in this extremely white soccer space? What has it been like navigating being in a super non-melanated white soccer space, and particularly with supporter groups in the United States. How has that been for y'all? I don't know if somebody wants to go first.
And it's been trying.
It's been trying?
It's been a trying experience. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Jake will expound even more, but trying to make a place for yourself, just trying to be able to find a place to feel comfortable. It's not the easiest. It's not easy at all. And it's just something that I think a lot of people like us that probably have probably plenty of stories about themselves and how difficult it can be sometimes to just try to make a place for yourself. So it's been trying, but I'm gonna keep trying because it's not about just me. It's about everyone who comes after me.
Okay, preacher. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have some thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, kind of to build off of what Phil said, it's very frustrating and hard to try to make that space for yourself just because you're one of three, maybe, and people look at you like you don't know what you're talking about. So kind of to build on top of that, trying is frustrating and annoying and hard.
Or anyone else have some thoughts?
I think some people struggle to come up with even the concept of a group like ours existing. Mm-hmm. Some people still don't even grasp it or why the need to, which is a whole nother conversation in of itself.
Actually, that's a good point to get into the second question of this two-part question. So what brought the need for you to have like a black person, people of color in the case of Rose Room, supporter group in your city, in your market?
Riss, you want to do this one or do you want me to?
I don't mind. I mean, for me personally, when I started going to Washington Spirit games, I'm in a sea of not a lot of color. And and for me, you know, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me. And, you know, I met Doug, and back in 2019, 2020, we kind of linked up and said, hey, you know, maybe we should try and make a group for our own because there isn't a group for us specifically. You know, like Spirit Squadron is around, but it's not a safe space for people of color. So we decided that we were going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I guess to cover on the DC United side, and then in that case, in their end, they, how do I put this? Too many old white dudes at the very top that have caused nothing but fucking problems for years, and I'm like, I was just like, something's got to change with this bullshit. So, took a swing at it.
All right. So, you said it wasn't safe, in a sense. Can y'all elaborate on that, if you're comfortable?
I was newer to the squadron scene. Mm-hmm. I think they were more, how do I put this? Maybe Riss has a different experience. I think they were more naive and new to just even grasping things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say the same. You know, I've only experienced from the Washington Spirit side. I have not been to a DC United game for reasons that Doug will probably divulge into a little bit more, just because he's been to more DC United games, but definitely probably like more on the naive side, just not really knowing. But I've had good experiences with the supporter groups. I just, it's never been, oh, I see people that look like me. So
right. Okay, I see. And so then go ahead.
I was saying the DC United side is more like active hostility, to put it charitably.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not feeling comfortable, and then you're not seeing yourself. And so it's like.
Correct. I have not been to a DC United game for that reason.
Okay. That's why I'm like,
I feel like MLS in general.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were to go to a DC United game, I wouldn't be in a supporter section. That's how to put it.
Okay. Because I mean, like, I know when me and Sills went to a LAFC game, it was like,
It's noticeable.
Visit, we were noticeable. It was like, shit, we black. Oh, okay.
Well, Donald, you've been in DC for how long now? And you rarely go to DC games anymore.
So I go to DC United games. I have only seen two games, DC United games, from the supporter section.
Gotcha.
And it's because of the, how do I put this?
Say it plain.
Say it plain. That's why we're here.
It's so right when Audi Field opened, they did this whole ticketing structure thing. And I know Doug and Rich know what I'm talking about, but they did this whole ticketing structure thing where they basically said one group was going to get all the tickets. And because I was one of the main capos for that group, they thought that the capo group was the leadership. But we were never involved in leadership. We never involved in that decision. We didn't know the decision was coming. So they singled me out and they gave me a bunch of shit for months online, in person. The first game I went to in the supporter section was the second game at Audi Field. I didn't get to the opener and I was being recorded. People were coming up, throwing beers, you know, harassing me, bullying me, saying they're going to, you know, kick my ass, all this stuff. And literally from the stands, I emailed my ticket rep and said, I'm moving to the other side of the stadium and I will never be in here as long as some people are in this thing. Rose Room Collective is doing a great job to try and mend those fences and kind of help push some of those people out. But I don't feel safe in that section with those people, even to this day. The only time I've been in the supporter section at Audi Field has been for a couple of Spirit games. And when the U.S. comes to play, because when the U.S. comes to play, I'm in charge. And those people know that I'm in charge. And so they won't bother to pull up because they understand that the brother can get them banned. So since, you know, for DC United, I basically, like when I said I'm a recovering local supporter, I got out of the supporters group. Supporters group didn't have my back, so I quit. And everybody, they said, oh, well, don't worry. He'll come back and he'll convince everybody to come back. Everybody left with me. Our entire capo crew, we had 15 people in the capo crew.
Goddamn.
All of them left the supporters section except for one. And we all have our back on that. We love it to death. So yeah, that was the situation in a nutshell. But the problem, it's almost like, and this is a, I don't know if it's a bad way to say, but like, I hate that we have to have black supporters groups because we should be included in everything. But the fact remains is that these are necessary. So I'm glad that, you know, Black Fires, you know, I've always supported from afar, and Rose Room as they're coming about, like even, you know, Doug and I were having long conversations about how to get this started because I'll always share that advice. But as far as from an active supporters role, DC United lost me a long time ago. I'm just a, you know, at this point, I'm just a fan. So, and that's fine.
All right. So, like, Phil and Jake, y'all are in Chicago. So, I was going to say, how important was it, particularly in Chicago? Even that super black city, has it been to have like Chicago Black Fires?
I guess I'll go.
I didn't open the can of worms, but
yeah. It started out really fun. got a ton of support at the fun at the start. And Donald's speaking some very poignant words now, where I would say, I don't know about Phil. I've been a bad person. I haven't really checked with Phil on how he's feeling on this, but like, I feel myself not caring every single day that goes on. It's pretty apparent from, I would say, the Twitter for Black Fires is kind of non-existent right now. It sucks because, like, I think being a Fire fan and also a Red Star fan is already pretty hard. But having the constant frustration of being in a super black city like Chicago and spinning your wheels and not knowing exactly who is supporting and to what degree they're actually going to support has really just made being up here super exhausting. I mean, Phil can probably say more.
I mean, the reality of it is that you have a lot of people who were like, yeah, it's great. You're a Black supporters group. We support you. But when it came to actually supporting us, they did not a thing. And I will keep it, I'll keep it clean for the sake of the pod. But I got, if I could go back, I'd have some very, vicious words for certain people. For the simple fact that it didn't take until our first event for some crap to go down.
Oh, shit. Mm.
And just people, like, being apologists for the stuff happening. You know,
and
then, they say,
and that was the worst part.
Like, anytime we have some kind of big blow up, people look at us like the shit starters for some reason. And, I mean, it's, who wants to do that? We don't get paid to do this stuff. We're doing it because it's important, but I mean, you're pushing people away, and that's what I think DC and the Fire have very similar situations, in that the same people pushing people out are the same people that are sticking around. So,
go ahead.
And it's just at a certain point, you know, you want to keep pushing and you want to keep doing things, and you want to, because you know it's for the betterment going forward, but it's hard to continue when everyone wants to throw all the work onto you. You know, they don't want to actually support you. They just want to be around you so that they feel like, oh, I checked my ally box.
Which I will give Local 134 credit. They did host a Black History Month event without even asking us to do anything. So
finally.
Yeah. I mean, we've been around 4 years, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's got to be a trick because y'all are both in big Black cities, Chicago and Chocolate City, D.C., just so sure. People in the NWSL remember that.
It's all over the place, too, right? Because, I mean, just for a quick example, I'm a Detroit City supporter. I'm a Detroit City part owner. I was the third ever season ticket holder ever in the club's history. I helped found a supporters group that helped bring Detroit City there, and they pushed all those people out because, you know, and that city is 90% Black. So I feel like this is a common tale in all these cities across the country, is that when you look in the stands, it's not reflective of the city that they're playing for, or at least they say they're playing for.
Right. So Jermaine, you feeling the same way in Miami?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the stories that y'all are sharing, you know, we've experienced the same thing down here with, you know, a lot of the official supporter groups. You know, there's one or two official supporter groups that consistently show us love and partner with us on tailgates and different events. But I'd say the main kind of power block of, you know, official SGs down here in Inner Miami just haven't been doing the work, right? And you know, it's funny that, like, when a Black, you know, like Donald said, like, there shouldn't need to be a reason for a Black supporter group, right? But then when one is made, the SGs are like, oh well, no, you know, like, we're inclusive, like, no, like, y'all, like, you don't have to do that. And it's like, but y'all aren't doing anything. Like, y'all haven't shown us anything that welcomes us or that represents us. So don't get offended when we, like, create something for ourselves, right? Like, they get really uncomfortable with that. You know, but I think for Black Herons, I think I guess this is this can, like, lead into another question. For Black Herons, it's been helpful being an independent supporter group. So we're not an official supporter group of Inner Miami. So I would love to know how everyone else's structure is in relation to the club. Are you an official SG? Are you independent? How does that shape your relationship with the other SGs and with the club itself?
So I think that question is, so because for MLS and NWSL, it's a little bit different. Like, are you technically official SGs with NWSL? I can say I don't know, because ever since that incident with Ashlyn Harris in Orlando, or when Orlando played here, I have not been in the SG, like the Courage SGs. just because I was like, if I don't, the only person that had my back was my men's side SG, and they're the ones that stuck up for me and were like, this is not her, this is not who she is. Like, I was getting ready to be banned from my own stadium. So, like, because she doesn't like that I don't kiss her ass in the ground she walks on. So I said, what's, we put three past you. I'm sorry. Get better defense. Not my problem. So I think that when it comes to NWSL and the space of what an official SG is, I think each club handles it differently, if I remember correctly. Like, mm-hmm. I know with Angel City, you have to go through this, like, 12-point process. And you have to have 15 people in order to be even looked at by your SG, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous. But we'll talk about that later. Like, the entryway into soccer is so, like, or as some supporters group, is so fucking hard because they're putting these barriers in place to be an official SG. Like, again, all on the NWSL side, like, to be an official SG, but the clubs are making their own SG so that they can control it better. Like, I don't think it matters one way or the other, really, like, if you're official or not. They're going to infiltrate some way to make it so that you don't have any power anyway. So as Black fans who already don't feel like they have power, and here's your club making even more barriers for you, you just kind of feel like defeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I get that. I get that for sure. And, you know, I think one thing that we've experienced down here is a lot of difficulty wanting to do things that we really just, like, we want the club to do, right? But because we're not an official SG, the club just kind of dismisses us and, you know, just really, really doesn't listen to us. We've accepted that, right? We were like, you know what, that's fine. Like, if y'all not going to do it, we're just going to do it ourselves, right? Like, a prime example is this Caribbean night. Like, we've been trying to tell them since, like, 2021, like, yo, we need to have a Caribbean night. Y'all need a Caribbean night. Y'all need a Caribbean night. And they have a Hispanic Heritage night, mind you, right? They don't have a Caribbean night or a black, you know, anything.
It's Miami, though. They know there's Caribbean people there, right?
No, I don't know if they know. So I really don't know, to be honest. All right.
But, and, like, there's, you know, whole black culture in soccer down there. Like, that's wild.
It's quite evident, right? Which either tells me they are just incredibly ignorant or they are intentionally, you know, ignoring the community, which is whatever. I mean, like, y'all gonna do what y'all gonna do and we're gonna do what we're gonna do, right? And, like, I think that's the beauty of kind of maintaining some type of independence, that, you know, if y'all not gonna do a Caribbean night, then Black Herons will just do a Caribbean night, you know what I'm saying? We're just gonna do as much as we can, you know what I'm saying, without the support of the club, but we're gonna put a, you know, we're gonna put it on, and, you know what I'm saying, we're gonna continue to create the space, right? And I think that's one of the more important needs for Black SGs and, you know, people of color SGs is just creating a space, right, that does not exist in these, you know, going back to Sky's original question, like, these kind of non-melanated white spaces, right?
So does being independent or not an official SG mean anything in MLS? Like, can you still sit in the supporter section? Can you still get tickets? Any, like, if you can do all that and not have to be an official SG, so you have to run all your shit through the front office, do you see yourself becoming official one day?
So I'd say that there are a lot of things we can't do, right? Like, we can't bring in our own flags. I mean, we can sit in the supporter section. Like no one's saying you can't sit in the supporter section. You know, we can do that. However, I think that has forced us to think of other ways of creating space, right? So I think one incredible thing about all the SGs here is that we have a very strong social media presence, right? Like, that's a space that people tap into and engage with on the daily, right? Whether it's just tailgating, right? Creating just a, you know, a physical space in the, you know, in the tailgate experience, right? Like a lot of our members aren't even in the supporter section. Right, which, you know, may kind of, again, go back to that question about, is there a difference between, like, a supporter, right, or, you know, someone like a member of a supporter group and just a casual fan? But having said all that, we're not interested in becoming official, right? We feel like if we do become official, then that's when everything's going to go to shit, right? And that's when the club's going to take it over and, you know, just compromise everything that we've been trying to do. So I think the kind of status of being independent allows us to do what we can do, even if the club is not going to support it, right? And, you know, it's just, yeah, kind of about, you know, asking for, like, what is it? Asking for forgiveness rather than permission, right? It's
right.
Just,
mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So.
So what about Jake and Phil with Chicago Blackfires? Like, are y'all official?
I mean, it used to matter, but it really doesn't matter anymore. Because mm-hmm. The club created a council. So you have all these supporters groups who, and you have to have 25 members or something like that to get recognized. And then they made an exception for certain groups that that ended up being like Black Fire. So they're like, well, if you're, you know, a diversity or something like that, we'll let you in without the 25 members. But there's no great benefit to being an official one. Mm-hmm. And so it really never mattered because we do our own thing anyways. We did our thing for Juneteenth, mm-hmm. Which was great. That was a fun time because we're tired of begging people to care about us.
Right.
We're tired mm-hmm. of it. So if we do something, we'll do it. If not, it is what it is. But at this point, it's all on them because, you know, being in an official supporters group, it really doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Okay.
And I don't care.
Right, okay. Right. So one question I have for y'all, though. In Chicago, can you only be a part of one SG or can you be a part of multiple?
I found a way to float through. So when I first started, I joined Sector Latino, mm-hmm. which, funny in itself, that's a whole story. And then when I started Black Fires, I was a part of another group. That group kicked me out because they were like, you started your own group. I'm like, I mean, I'm always be Black, so it's what it is what it is. They felt I prioritized Black Fires over them. I'm like, well, no, of course I am. If it comes down to that, of course I am. And so some member who now isn't even in charge, he kicked me out. And when he did that, everyone in that group was like, they gave him a middle finger and they were about to break off completely. Mm. So
okay,
I've done it. It's been funny. It's funny the way people give you looks, but like I said, I'm just a people person, so it works for me.
Right. Okay. Is it like that in DC? Or is and Doug?
Not necessarily. I mean, like, maybe Doug knows better than I do. I don't think that there's like a certain, like, we made the group and we mm-hmm. announced it, so we didn't have to go through front office or anything like that. The only like official like thing I would say is we're part of the Independent Supporter Council. That's probably the most official you're gonna get as far as being on the NWSL side.
Okay.
And then it's not really exclusive. Like Riss and I are both in Spirit Squadron just because we're like, we're not gonna be exclusive. You wanna be part of others, do it.
Right.
Okay. So we're both in there. I'm technically part of one other DC United supporter group, but I'm not really like, I'm in there for their drinks, not for anything else. And it's kind of doesn't really hold any meaning like it should. What Jake and Phil were getting at. So
okay.
I mean, the thing is, if they wanted to care, sure, but that'd be a very silly decision on their end. Among many they've done in the past.
All right, noted.
Right. So, okay. So, with that said, since y'all all are part of Black supporter groups, DC, Miami, Chicago, what have been some like positive experiences confronting this Black community? You know,
I mean, I'm forever gonna really put up the Black History Month panel we did that involved Sarah Gorin, RIP, And
she's gone from here.
So,
oh man,
I'm still mourning.
I'd be mourning too
because she be balling, baby. Okay,
wow,
went to the beaches, but no, I mean, that panel was super, super dope. I mean, when we do events, it's super dope, and I think even knowing the people we know because we're in the black space, like Black Herons, like Rose Tulip Closet, the group in Nashville, Featherstone Flamingos too, For the Culture, we know all those guys, and that even though we're all saying these negative kind of feelings and whatnot, I think when it comes to each other and how we deal with each other, that's all entirely positive, and that keeps people working, really. I think just knowing each other is a positive experience in itself.
Okay. Jermaine?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing was just, again, just creating that space, right? Creating, whether it's on social media, whether it's our WhatsApp group, it's just a space where all of us can get together. We can talk football, we talk Inter Miami, we talk politics, right? A lot of us have different views, right? But we all kind of have a common understanding. Listen, we're just here to kind of increase this representation and increase the space for Black folk in South Florida. And I think some of the highlights have been the Black History Month social media campaigns we've been doing. Last year we did focus on Black soccer in Miami, and this year we did a focus on Black soccer in the diaspora. And this season, our tailgates are really starting to, develop and take a lot more structure. And that's just been an incredible experience. The few games we've, the few home games we've had, and just meeting new people. I've genuinely met new friends. I have new friends down here in Miami, and it's through Black Herons, right? And so it's just beautiful kind of to, continue to create that community.
All right. What about in that DC, the go-go and all that?
I think from my point of view is just meeting so many people that have been even very recently before the Spirit season kicked off, there was someone in the organization just independently saying, thank you for making this. Cause I've wanted to see something like this for a long time now, who it's a Black man that has worked for the Spirit for some time. And he was just he said it felt a bit isolating. So to see Rose Room come up, he was just thank you for making the space. He doesn't comment often, but he sees all of our activity and he feels good to him. And I was just that's half the reason why we wanted to do it, because of support, meeting other supporters, meeting other staffers, or even players, which I think Riz can elaborate a little more on.
Come on, Mama Riz. I know you got some stories.
Oh, yeah. And to piggyback off of Doug, I think another person, Gabby Vincent, she was really excited that we started Rose Room Collective. And to my knowledge, I think she joined the group. Doug may know better than I do. I know she joined Rose Room Collective. And then obviously when we founded Rose Room, obviously Tegan was a really big supporter of us founding the group. And, Tegan and I have really just kind of stuck together. And even though she's no longer with the Spirit, we have a
RIP
Tegan.
Is that how it works? Oh, okay. Damn.
Tegan. No, but it was really nice to have players really just say thank you for doing this, because we really need stuff like this around the league. And she's just been really supportive of Rose Room and just been really close ever since.
I'm gonna jump in here, because even though I don't have a Black SG in my neck of the woods, I do a lot of USA stuff, and I support.
Good, because I was about to point y'all out. Point you in, Donald. Out. Go ahead.
but NWSL wise, I support where I can. I'm kicking with Rose Room, and when I can hop in with Yvonne at Black Fires, I do. Just to keep it Black and for the culture, because there's not a lot of us here. And to piggyback off of what Riz said, players are looking at us because they're I'm finally, you're seeing us on the field, but we're finally seeing y'all in the stands. And like Riss's relationship with Tegan, and like I've met some really cool people that, you know, that are Black that are just like, thank you for being here, because you don't see a Black female capoing in Cary, North Carolina. That sounded white. Like
it sounded real white, right?
That Cary hit hard. It hit the hard R. Like,
what was you said something out town? So yeah.
So, like Jess McDonald, like I've had really good conversations with her, and hopefully I can extend that to like Estelle Johnson and Brianna Pinto. I've gotten really close with her and her family. Well, not, I won't say close, but like I see them every game, and I say hi, and they say hi back. Like her grandma gives the best hugs. I can't say no to a grandma hug. Like, what am I supposed to do? That's rude. My mama will fight me. You know, so. But even on like the national stage, it's been really, like, I don't want it to all be negative. It's been really cool. Like the very first time I met Donald, I think was in Canada, right? Yep. Yeah. He scared the shit out of me on a plane. And next thing I know, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, you're leading a march. And I'm like, what does that mean? And now here we are, right? Sills, right?
That's exactly what happened.
It, literally, he was like, "Oh, you know Kelly? Okay, cool. You're gonna do this." I'm like, "But I don't want to. Too bad. All right, cool. Yep. I guess I'll just go get drunk and yell words out to a crowd of thousands of people." Sure,
absolutely. And,
but to like, I and then, but I've also met your roommate Alex. From this, and I mean, she's diaspora adjacent, so I'll give her Peru. I wouldn't have met Silver. I wouldn't have met a lot of these amazing people that I have now in my life because of this Black space that we create for ourselves, even when we don't know we're doing it. Because I go to a game and I see a Black person standing there, I'm gonna be like, "Yo, what's up? You having a good time? You have a beer? First one's on me." Because that's how I got introduced to this game. So, like, I don't, like, it's a little different, but not really. It's all the same. We're just here kicking it, trying to make our best friends happy. Oh, and look, my shrimping grits.
Okay, put that on you.
Stick it to us.
Right. That was nice. All right, Donald, what about you? Like, in
Yeah, I think, from an AO perspective, I'm the DEI chair, and that probably comes as no surprise when you see some of the stuff that comes out from our channels, because a lot of times it's like, hey, I got to generate this. And if it's not for me, it's for somebody who, again, might know. I mean, anytime you see, you know, my supporters group in the news, they don't talk about the non-white people that are in it. They just say it's just 100% white, and you know, mm-hmm. they kind of eliminated us from existence when they're painting us in a negative light. So, but yet on the national stage, we're the only ones that are even attempting to do stuff like this. We're the only ones who are having roundtables. We're the only ones who are doing, you know, we're highlighting some of our Black chapter leaders and capos and drummers and people mm-hmm. who make this organization go. And we start with that to say, hey, these, you know, everybody here has a hand in making this successful. But it's also about hopefully putting them out there, and not necessarily to put them out there, but so that other people can go, oh, yo, you know, Ebony here, she's capo. Like, next time I go to a match, I'm going to see what's up about this capoing thing. She seems like a cool person to watch a game with. Next time I'm down in Raleigh, I'm going to go by the bar and check it out. Little things that can bring people in and make this soccer space feel a little more like the country is supposed to represent and the team that it does represent. Because I mean, you know, when I started watching soccer, there were, you could count the number of Black people in the stands and on the field on one hand. Now in the starting lineup, we need two for a lot of these games, which is terrific. And we have more coming. So I want that exponential growth on the field to also be in the stands. It's obviously a lot harder to do that, but I don't not do things because it's hard. So I just keep trying. So that's all right. That's all I can do. And on the soccer side, on the other side, like I run Stars and Stripes FC. I run a blog. I have podcasts and have those platforms where, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, I started a series where every day I just said I'm going to write a Black story. It's not, it wasn't for anybody else to read. It was just for me. And I just wrote it down on paper because I said, hey, if I'm going to be on this journey and I'll put it out there, and if other people want to join me on this, then they'll read it. I used to get negative comments on every single article, every single one, about why are you doing this? This person's not American. This person's not Black. This person's not Black enough. Who is this guy? Why are we talking about the first, you know, player to play in Brazil, the first player to play in China, whatever. But then it eventually became where people go, yo, I understand why you're doing this. And thank you for doing it, because now I'm learning about some of these people that, and some of these stories that need to, you know, be seen. So that makes it, you know, I guess rewarding in a way, but also again, they give us the shortest month in the year. They cut it off by giving us, like, in international, they give us 3 matches in that month. So those are 3 days that we can't focus or, like, on specifically on Black culture and history. And then they have other things that just kind of, you know, they try to figure out a way to make 28 days like 20 or 19. So the idea is to break through that and make it where it extends beyond February 28th. And we can talk about this all the time, which is why I'm glad we got Yogi out there who's, you know, got a whole podcast dedicated to this. Like, that's what we need more of, because we need them to understand that Black soccer history is soccer history. And some of the greatest players that have ever played this game, the greatest player that have ever played this game, looks more like us than they look like them.
Ooh, that's a good segue to the next question. So what is missing in terms of growing Black community in soccer in your city or nationally, that you think your team market could do better or they're doing correctly?
I'm going to start this one because these strips grits can't get cold. honestly, it's actually going into these neighborhoods. They don't do that enough. Like, Durham is Black as hell. Why are you not marketing in Durham? Like, I live in old Black money. So all the houses there is 80-year-old, 90-year-olds that built that generational wealth from nothing. But you don't see Courage jerseys or NCFC jerseys on these kids. All you see is Panthers or you don't even see Charlotte FC gear here. I mean, fuck Charlotte, but you don't even see Charlotte FC gear here. Like, it's the basketball jerseys. They're not tapping into those local markets. Like, NCFC youth is the biggest, like, youth, like what do you call it? I don't know what it's called anymore. Youth development in the U.S. And yet, I don't see these little kids that look like me that were in these, like, Dorothea Dix and, like, Brad Street. None of those. They're not there. So you can't get fans that look like me out there if you're not going to them. So, I mean, Donald also was in Durham. So I think you can speak to it better than me because I don't really go to Durham much anymore.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's not just Durham. It's everywhere, right? Like, anytime a team releases a jersey, anytime a team, like, has some big event, they'll send around all their new jerseys to people so that they, oh, thanks for the jersey. This is really cool. Like, everybody buy this jersey, right? They send it to people who don't need it, right? They send it to people who don't care about the team. They don't send it to the people in the community. Send that to a classroom in an elementary school in North in Southwest, right? Or Southeast. Like, send it to Durham. Send it to Little Haiti in Overtown. Like, you know what I mean? Like, send it to Watts. Like, they should be getting jerseys in those classrooms so that they go, like, basketball teams will do it, which is why we're like, oh, cool, I got the new Pistons jersey. Dope, I'm in, right? But they don't send the soccer jerseys out there because they don't think that we like the sport.
Right.
they won't know that. I mean, like, we were all young ones. Like, we picked up this game at different points in our life. I was 4 when I started playing soccer because I couldn't play football. Now, that might be a Bass Ackwards way of getting to this game, but I got into it that way, and then I loved it. So I stuck with it. I played it. And so many opportunities there was for me to get out of it because it wasn't accessible, or they wouldn't, like, they don't have it on TV back in the day and things like that. Right. And now they don't have that excuse. It's on there's 8 million hours of soccer on TV every week. Like, there's no excuse for a team to not walk into a classroom with one of the players and be like, hey, guys, well, you don't even have to give the jerseys, but like, hey, we hear you guys like sports. Like, we'd love to have you at the soccer game on Saturday. Here's, for your for your class, here's some tickets. Here's some T-shirts. We want to hear you guys screaming. And, before the game, we may even be able to get you down the field. You can take some pictures. That's how you breed the next generation. That's how we're going to have how we're going to start winning World Cup after World Cup. It's because the kids today are the ones that got sparked by going to a game, just like we got sparked by watching our game for the first time.
Mm. Or Jake Phil in Chicago, what's missing and what are they doing right?
That'd be a whole nother segment in itself.
I feel like there are some things the Fire are at least doing right. And
They're trying.
I think a lot of that was spurred on by Andre Reynolds being on the team and Justin Reynolds because they have to be the first Black homegrowns who got signed by the Fire.
Chicago proper.
Yeah, they really pushed going to like Southside schools and things like that. I think from a casual fan perspective, the Fire are doing really well with that. I think for supporter, it's way different just because people see how miserable the supporter like interactions with each other are for the Fire. Red Stars is completely different. I feel like this is no shade. I feel like they stopped caring once Connor left. Big void to fill now because of that. And because there's one Black player on the team now, like I don't think they really see that as a priority right now, which is awful. And I know they do have Black people on staff at the Red Stars, but we just need to see more out of that team in more ways than one. And it goes to Arnhem too. Like, I don't think from the top they really see that as something that's very important to them. I think people, the Fire used to think this, and I think in some ways they still do. And I know for a fact the Red Stars do. They just see suburban white parents as what the next frontier is. And as everyone said here, like, that shouldn't be the case, and it's not the case.
What about in DC? The DC situation. What's going right? What can be better? Aside from cherry blossoms everywhere.
I mean, listen, don't get me started on that. I'll be honest. It's the front office is white as can be. To Devin's credit, shout out to Devin. He's our supporter liaison. He is doing the Lord's work, and he is really trying to get people to open their minds, and it's just they are not marketing to the community, and that's something that we have asked them to do. It's been conversations. It just has not happened. To the credit, we do have DC scores, like people like Charity Blackwell, things like that, but they are just not marketing to the right people and suburban white folks, and just it's not looking like you care.
DC scores is who I was going to bring up in context with what Donald mentioned. That's probably the best asset, both teams could work with here. The Spirit only just started after not really working with them for years. DC United has, and they've kind of started curtailing that. So they're going in some very weird directions, both of them. I'm not sure how I how that's going to work out for either. Maybe better for the spirit, but it's going to take literally years and years and years of them doing it. Hmm. I don't know what is going to be in DC United's case long run.
So, Jermaine, in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the only difference I would say in relation to Rose Room and Black Fires is that the club isn't necessarily reaching out to the suburban white population. It's reaching out to the Latin American population. The commonality is this consistent anti-blackness that exists, right? Wherever it is, whether it's suburban white folks or kind of, you know, Latin American folks who, you know, think they're white or have a pretty close, identify as white. So there's all of that going on. You know, the club seems to, and I think I mentioned this before earlier, the club seems to intentionally ignore its Caribbean base down here in South Florida. Some concrete things we've talked about have been, you know, so like they make a lot of their marketing both in English and Spanish. Mm. And it's like, well, why not do that marketing in Haitian Creole, right? Like just do it, right? It's not that difficult, right? It's not that hard. So that's like one concrete thing. And of course, just kind of highlighting like Caribbean culture, right? Like throughout the games, you know, can we have some Jamaican food trucks or something, right? Like instead of solely Latin American cuisine, which is fine, right? And I don't want to suggest that Black people are not Latin American as well, right? But there's a certain, you know, specific English-speaking Caribbean population that is being seems to be intentionally ignored, right? And so if they just kind of tap into that community and tap into those cultural aspects of South Florida, I think the club will do a lot better. Now, they have reached out to Little Haiti FC. They donated different equipment, different laptops for the team, and they've, you know, reached out to them in terms of offering them tickets. And that's kind of one of their ways of covering themselves. Like, yeah, we give comp tickets to these different teams. And it's like, all right, that's great. Thanks. But structurally, there's nothing like institutionally that they're doing to kind of change the way the club is viewed. Right.
Right. Okay. So that's similar to like, I was with my homeboy yesterday, getting a late lunch, and he's from DC. That's a lot. He's from Prince George County. You gonna kill me, Maryland. It's all you're from PG County. I'm about to get killed. But anyway, he was listening, I was telling him about Shea Butter, and he was like, well, I know nothing about no LAFC won a championship. They did. I seen Angel City stuff, but he was tripped out like they not marketing. It's seeming like the soccer community in LA is not marketing the Black spaces. And it's like plenty of bougie brunch Blacks it's your whole spectrum of socioeconomics of Black people. And they play in the middle of, in the bank particular, my bad, in the BMO in particular, they play in the middle of South Central. They own USC's campus. Like, the Negroes is everywhere. They be at the crypto all the time. And so the same thing, I mean, we live near, me and roommate Alex live near the Galaxy Stadium. It's, in our complex alone, it's so many Black people. It's like a Black situation. It's Black bougie people all over the place. Like, you have access to people, but you can see where the marketing isn't happening. And to y'all's points, they're not giving the shirts and stuff in different places. But at least another question of, what would y'all like to see from programming from y'all's teams? What are things that you would like to see, I guess, in your market that would make you feel more included? From programming or whatever, support, what would you like to see?
How long do you have?
Okay.
Like,
maybe a second part two.
I mean, we will do its part two eventually, but yeah.
Initiative. I just want them to start by taking the initiative. 98% of clubs ain't doing that in anything they do. So that's what I would lead with, because from there, half the time, and even, and it does not matter. I feel like everybody on this has had this happen to you, where someone's like, hey, we're going to do something for insert random night, and we need your help. Mm-hmm. It's never about the initiative. It's always about Mm-hmm. We want to include you by having you come up with the idea, and we'll, and then they'll say, grown folks take it from here. And then they do it, and then they don't even tell you, they don't even say, hey, yo, thanks, Jank. Thanks, Phil, for helping us out on that. They just take it, do it, and then take the pats on the back and the credit. So I just want them to take the initiative and do stuff on their own. And then have them highlight people in their community that they're reaching out to. Have them sit in a room and have people tell them why they suck. Right, like that's something that from an AO perspective this year, that's what I want to do. Like one of the things I'm going to try and do in the next couple months is bring in some people who are part of, you know, people like yourselves and people part of these groups that we're trying to tap into, and be like, why, like, what do we need to do? Like, why do we suck? Tell us the areas that we suck in so that we can be better about it, and have them hear it and have them listen to it and actually take it in, because it's very different. We just did a DEI training for the first time, and I thought it went really well. And I got so much pushback just to get to that point. But then it happened. They're like, oh, that was actually eye-opening. We learned a lot from that. So I need people to just take the initiative to take those lumps sometimes and say, hey, everyone thinks they're doing right, but sometimes you just need someone to check you and be like, hey, this is where you're failing. This is where you need improvements. I just need teams to do that, but teams don't want to take that initiative to do it because they don't want that. They just want the pass on that.
So I will say the one thing I want is for an initiative, yes, but acknowledgement that there's more than one type of Black in this space. Like, I'm Black and lesbian. I'm not going to be the same Black as Donald Wine Black. I'm not going to be the same Black as Sylvia or Riz or Phil. So it's acknowledging that these intersections happen, and you can't just lump it all into one day of Pride or one day of Black History Month. And no team really celebrates Black History Month because it's in February and they're not in league. So they put their one post up sometimes 3 days late.
Do they put a post up?
Red Stars didn't.
I'm sorry.
You're trying to kill her on the shrimp. You're trying to kill her on the shrimp.
My fault.
But they were doing initiatives.
Don't joke on the grit now.
They had initiatives.
Initiatives.
But they just never wanted to be transparent about it. I think that's one thing for me, piggybacking off everyone else. It's one thing to say you're going to do initiatives. It's one thing to say you're going to do stuff. But when you're not transparent about it, why should we believe you?
Right.
Because I still haven't heard anything from the Red Stars.
Whoop. Also, March. There are more Black people. There are more Black people than you think. Stop asking the same ones. Like, I tell my club all the time, I am not the Black fan. You can ask more than one, okay?
But you are. Like,
but you are, though. You are the Black.
You are the Black.
Am I the token Black friend? Oh, my God.
Yeah, because you're also lesbian. So you hit two intersections at the same time.
They're checking boxes. Their ally tickets as we speak.
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not the only one. I am a fan. I'm just your loudest one. But I also get more traction than you think. So that's why I get phone calls at 6:30 on a Monday, because I got tweet watchers happening in my and you got sent a long email over the weekend. And like, that's not necessary. Just do the work. I know we joke about this in the group chat, but ask a Black person challenge, they fail it every single time. Every
and
time.
You have to know Black people to ask them.
I can show them three more if they need it. I can give them three more if they really need it. Caring is also an issue. Like, my team did not care from like 2015 to 2022. But the new liaison we have now, she is actually really good at what she does, and she's taken the initiative to go into neighborhoods and ask us the questions about what went wrong so that I can do the right thing. I've never had that conversation with anyone in my front office. It's more of like, what can I throw money at so that we can get more people here? Right. Negro, you don't need money. You just need to show the fuck up.
Come on, I mean, if you would like to throw money as well.
I mean, you can. If you want to throw some dollars at me, that's fine.
Right.
Like, we can make it twerk in here if you need me to, but I'll be that token black person. Give me money. But but also show up.
Yeah. Riz and Doug.
I mean, I'll be honest, you know, when we founded Rose Room, we had a lot of communication with our front office. We don't really have a whole lot of communication with our front office. Devin is probably our sole person that we communicate with. And, you know, Donald and I have joked about this in the group chat as well. I want a focus group because I got a lot of things that I want to say to y'all. And we need to have a conversation. Outside, but it's Devin is our only form of communication. And he is, like I said, doing the Lord's work and relaying things, but I would really love to have a better relationship with our front office, and maybe you would actually like to hear the things that we have to say, because I got a laundry list.
Riz said, come outside, we're not gonna jump you.
Come
outside.
She said,
we just want to talk. Wait, so on your laundry list, are there a couple of things that you would like to see, that you would like to get out there?
First and foremost, you know, market to, you know, the black community, because we're not doing that currently. That's probably like my one top thing among cherry blossoms, but that's further down the list. That's further down the list.
Douglas.
Pay attention to even the little details. A little thing that's happened here in our scene is that Riz will know what I'm getting at, especially little things like they have swapped the PA announcers. Mm-hmm. We had the only Asian American PA announcer in the league, the in-stadium announcer. Mm-hmm. She has since been swapped out for a white dude for this season. He sucks. He's no good. And we're all just like, why the hell did you swap her out in the first place? Because she had been there for 10 years. Through basically the entirety of the spirit's existence, swapped out for no reason, and we're just
they essentially make her reapply for her job is what I think I saw,
and we're just like, can y'all care about these little things? Because this is the kind of shit that matters.
Like, you've upset a whole group of people, a whole group, because you decided you wanted to switch things up with your rebrand. Rebrands are great, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Emma was great. There was no reason to get rid of her, and now we have some bland.
If they're gonna rebrand, also make sure to like talk to us.
Right. Yeah, particularly because like Chaco City people, don't have it. Y'all in some white tees currently. They're like Nordstrom white tees, or Saks Fifth Avenue white tees and black tees. But damn, you like in chocolate, like they gotta be some flavor. You know what I'm saying? That's like on my whole rant about like the fitted hats looking like grandmama hats. Absolutely not.
It goes back. I mean, here in DC it's obviously unique, but it goes back to the debate that a lot of people have about Washington versus DC. Those are two different cities. So when you talk about, we have DC United, was founded in the community, and you mean at the time it was actively involved in the community. The Washington Spirit, just in the name, lets you know where they're catering to. They're not catering to the district. They're catering to all Washingtonians, which is everybody. And by that, they've only really been in DC, inside DC, for a couple years. Mm. Before that, they were in Maryland, and then after that, they were mostly in Virginia. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that's where their base, where they wanted their base to be. So
there's just a certain group of people in those places, right?
Especially the places that they ended up at. Like, not like they went to Baltimore or PG County.
Right.
They went to Germantown. Okay. So that alone should tell you where the base is. So when we talk about a rebrand, we're like, hey, like, I know a lot of people in DC were like, yo, if you change the name to DC, that will indicate to us that you were willing to expand your horizons and branch out to a base that is rooted in the city that you play in, and cater to those people. And that's where we kind of get left in the dark. And also seems like they're flying blind because we find out through jerseys that they're rebranding. That's something that should be definitely communicated to their biggest supporters ahead of time.
Okay. See, I have a question. Sorry. I think for most of your teams, right, particularly now, there's also a lack of Black players. Like, what do you think? I don't know, like, if impact's the right word, but like, what is that conversation or link? Obviously, your front offices aren't really in communication with you, but I don't know, I guess the impact of that, of not seeing yourself on the pitch in terms of bringing people in.
I think that definitely impacts, you know, getting butts in the seats. You know, to my knowledge, how I can count on one hand the amount of Black players we have on our team. And if you're not seeing it out on the field, why am I going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Chicago?
I mean, anytime we have a Black player who may be very talented, eventually they get traded or released. Sarah Gordon, gone. Andre, he's gone. Mo Adams, traded him. Michael Azira, let him go. Anytime we've had someone we've connected with or thought could make an impact, they eventually go. Now, am I saying this is a secret shadow war between Black Fires and the Fire front office? Yeah, it is. It's a secret war. You know, it's been happening for a while. And I'm just ready to tell them, hey, y'all got this.
Okay.
Now they brought in Kai Kamara. They're probably going to release him at the end of the season. Damn. He'll score 15, 16 goals. And damn, for the Red Stars, we know they're not going to sign anyone of –
Right.
We know what they're about.
Right.
So my question, so aside from, yeah, merchandise can help build some culture. I mean, particularly if they were to consult with y'all, right? Because like I said in the last episode, well, it won't be the last episode, it'll be episode before that when this gets released. Where basically like I've had Black friends straight up say, I don't know where some of these LA soccer shits because it's not going on my Black body. It's like not for me. What do you think could be done, aside from showing up, to help build some grassroots culture?
Hire Black artists.
Mm-hmm.
Black, like, we have this really, so we have this really cool shop here in downtown Raleigh where it's just a bunch of Black artists that sell their stuff. Kind of like, it's called Black Friday Market. And so it's like just a space where they can, a bunch of vendors and a bunch of like designers and like if you sell fragrances or like food or you know shirts, hats, whatever it is, you can market yourself in there. They just basically provide the the space and you provide the material. Well, there's some really good stuff in there and you could probably find some really good designers out of there if you just fucking looked around. Like if so, there was the year where me and one of my friends, Chuck, we designed the Juneteenth shirt and the Pride shirt for that year for the club. And they wore it on the pitch. There are players that still wear those shirts around because they didn't know. My favorite one was the Black History, is the Juneteenth one, because it has cities listed down the back. And those cities mean something to everyone in this space right now. Like even in this 9-person panel, Tulsa, Wilmington, like places that we were all impacted by. Like, and I'm no Black artist. I'm a girl that, but if I could make that like a day, with some really creative people that just come along and like, oh yeah, I can help make that, sure. And then just tap, tap, tap. Oh, a design. Oh, we're going to put it on the players. Oh, but there was no recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's more of this merch comes from Black people, so we know what it's like and we know what it signifies. Mm-hmm. So even if you can't find that Black artist, or you don't have one of those consignment shops in your area to go hand pick a couple people, your fans are right there too. And mm-hmm. it what you're not making, they're making. So you might as well get them on the books so that they stop stealing all of your dollars, because they got people spending it on them. Right? Like, me personally, I make my own shit. And if I don't like something, but I'm also different, because I can go talk to the merch person and be like, yo, that's not it. And she's like, done, off. What do you think it should be? And she listens, because that's the type of relationship we have. But not everyone, obviously, not everyone has that. Like, Riss just got cherry blossoms. You're in a fucking city of cherry blossoms. But Donna also kind of alluded to that with the Washington versus DC thing. So know your fucking market. Know what you have, what you don't have, and your supporters. Not even in, well, yes, mostly in your supporters. Because if they're designing Tifos, damn sure they're designing jerseys. And damn sure they're designing shirts and hats and pins. Like, the thing that one of my favorite things is Ford. Their supporters every year get to design the away jersey. Okay. So how are we not implementing that more in these markets? I know Nike sucks. It's fucking disaster. I hate it so much. But you have the opportunity now to, like, get that third kit or make that interesting shirt that you don't think will sell. I promise it will sell, because it's going to come from a Black person who said, I took a chance, and you said, I took a chance on them, and everyone's going to be like, bet, here's my wallet. Honestly, that's just how Black people support. I'm going to buy your shirt because because you made it.
Right.
Phil, you got something?
In terms of merchandising,
or even like what efforts from a grassroots perspective could get Chicago booties in the seats?
Well, Black you booties. Gotta actually win.
Oh,
you
yeah.
gotta actually win. Oh, that's the thing we haven't done often in like 13 seasons. Because when I'm talking about the fire on my Facebook, or so, especially on my Facebook, people are like, yeah, your team hasn't won in a while. And like the last time I had something really good to say was 2017. It's 2023.
Yeah, true.
That's fair.
So a big part of revitalizing is winning, because when you win, then people get interested and then they want to come around. So that's a big part of it. And then knowing where to market and knowing how to market on the grassroots level. So that'll help. I mean, Jake, you have anything?
Well, I mean, they again, the Fire doing a little bit better. They actually had a collab with a streetwear artist in Chicago earlier, and I went to the release party. I don't know if they didn't market it well or something, but it was like entirely white people. It was very weird. I think winning is a big thing. I think, like Ebony kind of alluded to, is like they don't think people who are like who are not professionals don't know how to do this stuff. It's just odd, I think. And I think what Chicago needs to do is, if they are serious about growing with the Black market, they need to call the Bulls right now. I mean, the Bulls, no matter what the Bears do, the Bulls are always going to have a place in Black Chicago. They need to figure out what they're doing. The Bulls always have something cool coming out, and like that's always getting worn around the city. The Fire need to find their phone number and hit them up,
and hit up the White Sox too, because
White Sox as well.
Because the city, City Connect jerseys, South Side.
People are still fiending for those.
Yeah, I want one. I ain't even from up there. I want one.
It was amazing. Imagine if the Fire finally got some merch like that. That would be amazing.
Right. Okay. Donald and Doug, did y'all have something in that room?
I was trying to remember.
They got their cherry blossoms and they're done.
Yeah, I mean, I know you cherry blossoms out.
Passion never settles.
It never settles. And it's like, it was pulling teeth to make these teams like... Dude, like, DC took like 10 years to get that jersey out. We were screaming at them, do this 4 years. And then they finally, after the Nats and the Wizards finally did it, they're like, oh, I guess there is an audience here. And we're just like,
we told you.
Come on. And then the Spirit still aren't doing it, but they have at least given us merchandise with it. Some very nice merch. I'll give them that. So I'm just like, it's there. It's on the table. We've been saying this. Y'all don't listen. And then when you see, oh, everyone's making money, now let's do it.
That's like,
y'all could have had this money years ago.
Right.
I mean, for me, yeah, I'm like Ebony. I mean, I'm wearing a jersey that I designed myself because they didn't. They're like, all right, if you're not going to give it to me, I will go get it, and then I know people will buy it. I mean, this is the prototype. This is the only one that was.
You got tank tops. You got tank jerseys.
Everything. We'll make it. I'll make anything. Like when I joke in the group chat, like, oh, you have a cool design, drop in the chat. We'll figure out a way to get it made because I know people will buy it. Right. At the end of the day, I get that the teams are slower. They have to be slower in that. Right. They can't just take a design and 2 weeks later have a shirt, but they could, because again, they could be ambitious. They could have the, you know, wherewithal to be like, yo, we'll take the initiative and we'll get it done. Yeah. But they don't want to because they know that it won't cater to, again, the base that they're actually aiming for. So, yeah, like Doug said, like in D.C., every year, cherry blossom jersey, cherry blossom jersey, cherry blossom jersey, cherry blossom. And they're like, we'll give you anything but. We'll give you this gray jersey. We'll give you this white jersey. We'll give you this jersey that doesn't – I don't know what it is, but I know it's not cherry blossom because that's what you want. And at the end of the day, I'm like, do you like money? We are telling you how we want to spend our money. Mm-hmm. We are telling you this. We're not demanding. We're just saying, hey, if this was in front of us, my wallet would be in front of you. And I mean, teams used to have like the pride numbers and they'd have the, you know, 4th of July numbers, whatever. Right. They cater to every other holiday. They have Christmas ugly sweaters, Valentine's Day hearts. Right. They may have some for Labor Day. I don't even know what you wear on Labor Day, but they have stuff for Labor Day too. Baseball has every season, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandpa's Day, Flag Day. They have everything. They have a hat for it, or they have a patch.
Yeah.
And we're not asking. And what we'll get is maybe a warm-up top that you're like, okay, cool. But then they don't think ahead and they don't think, oh, this is going to sell. The last one, the one that I really love, they made that Unity, MLS made that Unity kit last year, the warm-up one. I thought that was dope. They made like 47 of those things. So when I got one, and the player that was on the back of it turned out to do something racist, I was like, well, I got to throw this away. But at the end of the day.
No, you got his.
I got his, yeah. But at the end of the day, I couldn't get another one because they didn't think it would sell. So they only – I got it the day it came out, and there was only one in my size in the whole store on the internet, one, because they didn't think they would sell enough of them to get big quantities. This is just the forward thinking that they don't have, and that's why fans are just taking it upon themselves to do the stuff that they know is going to represent their team and themselves. And I just wish teams would look at that and go and bring some of those people in. Like Rhys said, like, yo, we just want to talk.
All right.
Just bring it in. Because we'll give you exactly what you are looking for, which is a way to make lots of money.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wait, so, okay, here's my question. So I have another side. We're going to go in a different direction a little bit. What does it look like? Because you're talking about teams need to communicate with the supporters, particularly like Black supporters, Black people. What does it look like to for real have an inclusive supporter group culture in your market? Does it currently exist in your market? It's probably no. But then what does it look like for it to exist where y'all feel successful and y'all can go forth and prosper?
here's the thing I've learned about inclusivity. Mm-hmm. Inclusivity doesn't matter if you're not ready to exclude when the moment comes up. I think people will let everybody in, and that's great, but people are keeping people in their inner circle or in their supporters groups who are just straight up racist, straight up misogynistic, homophobic, that kind of stuff. Inclusivity doesn't matter if you're not ready to make the tough decision and be like, this person sucks or this person doesn't represent us and we need to let them out. Because if you're keeping those people and you're like not saying what you need to say to the people who are racist on the internet or whatever, you're saying to the people on the outside that this is not a priority. Like, you can come in here, but we're not going to fight for you. And nobody wants to be somewhere where they're not welcome. So in our group in Chicago, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to choose not to say anything. But I think I see it in a lot of other places other than Chicago that there's some just not nice people or not people not willing to change that are just sticking around. And the people around them are looking the other way. And that goes everything against inclusivity.
Yeah. I'm just going to say real quick, what Jake said was perfect. 10 out of 10. I have no further notes.
I think I will be in big trouble. So
if I speak,
I hit that Jose. If I speak,
I'm going to throw this one line out there. I say it in a lot of different spaces. I'm not for everyone, and I don't want to be. So to be inclusive means inclusive to basic human rights, right? Mm. That's basically what this all comes down to, is basic human rights. And there's a lot of people out here in these SGs that think we don't deserve them. So it's a matter of, I don't want to, if I'm for everyone, I'm only for one person. And it's the wrong person. So I want, like Jake said, I don't think a lot of people understand what inclusivity really means until we get down to the nitty gritty of who are we inviting into these spaces to feel safe, and what does that mean? Like, that's kind of just that little caveat to add on to Jake's, because Jake's was just fucking perfect.
Truly.
Riz and Doug, y'all got any thoughts?
Riz, you want to go or do you want me to?
You can go.
My thing, kind of piggybacking off Jake's thing, is that's why whenever I see the terms like insert sport name for all, like hockey for all or soccer for all, I'm like, I hate that shit, because it implies the idea of, oh, we make the sport available for everyone. I'm like, this sport shouldn't be for everyone, because there are some people that should not be allowed in this sport ever. And today, especially more so on the DC United side, there are still people involved in shit that should have been banned from the scene a long time ago, still looming around like fucking vultures. And I'm like, it's not safe until these motherfuckers are out.
Word. Okay. So, what do y'all need as to support from other supporter groups, people in this space, to help y'all be great as Black supporter groups, Black supporters, Black people?
I think we get a lot of support already from each other. I mean, obviously with this as well, and how often we talk. I think the issue of Black people in soccer isn't going to be where it needs to be until white people and Latin American people and whoever see it as big of a problem as Black people see it. I mean, it has to be a unified thing. It really does. You can't just have the Black people be the ones sitting here in a round table talking about it and saying similar things we said in 2020 when everybody was asking us. I mean, a lot of our opinions haven't changed, and a lot of the landscape hasn't changed. So, I think until other people also see it as important as we are seeing it and as spending as much time thinking about it as we're thinking about it, it's not going to get there. I think that's just the reality.
Anyone else? No. Okay, well then. All right, so since the people... Okay, so how as Black people, Shea Butter adjacent people, anybody, what could we do to collaborate with each other to help build some non-white community, to get some more melanation? What? Y'all got some ideas for some events and things?
I know we've talked about it, Sky and Sills, like the cookout idea we had.
Oh, it's happening. Don't worry about it.
I just think that'd be cool to see in like Chicago, DC, Miami. If it happens in Miami or Atlanta, I'm taking the week off. I just know.
Well, God damn.
You need to.
Well,
yeah. I mean, there is that Henny and the situation now. So,
look, the Henny Derby will be legendary. Just
oh God.
If I don't answer for 2 days, plane
tickets.
If I don't answer for 2 days, just don't worry about it. I'll come back to you. Okay.
All right. So let's know you're alive now. Like, I'm concerned.
I'm for real. Like, y'all got any ideas for some events y'all want to collaborate together? This is the spot. We out here.
I mean.
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, I don't know. Like, these are fun, but it doesn't help when there's not a white person in the room so we can tell you you suck. Like, you make my life difficult. Stop it. Like, I don't know.
She wants the firing squad. She wants like, oh, the right here. Just go down the line. You suck.
Stop being terrible. Like, I don't know.
Just stop being a fucking stupid idiot.
Okay. So what I'm meaning is like, okay, so we're talking about a cookout. So like at a cookout, we're gonna do our show. We're gonna have some activities. It's gonna be a cookout. It's gonna be a black ass situation. Y'all got any ideas of some events? Is it some go-go versus the what's the Chicago? Whatever. The Chicago two-step.
It's mild over mumbo sauce.
Yeah.
Mild over mumbo, baby.
Hey, we're gonna have a cookout? We're gonna have a cookout.
We'll see you this weekend.
Stay mad. Two or three.
So first of all, this is supposed to be a unity building exercise. We're supposed to be ways to bring our people together. And to Jake's disunity, I think we need to have a wing off. That's what we need to do.
All right. I'm down
and
for
the
that.
The winner will be me because I will no longer be hungry.
How did we just go black uncle at the cookout? What are we doing?
All right. Okay. Well, actually, Jermaine sent us. He texted me because Jermaine's away for a little bit taking care of the baby. But joint tailgates, you know.
Okay.
I have a little situation. You can have a little fires and rose room situation, and it's virtual watch parties.
We did that last year.
I think we just travel in the U.S. is because it makes it a lot difficult. I mean, we're all in completely different parts of the country. That makes it a little tough, but.
Yeah.
Honestly, the wing idea, we were joking about the wings, but like a recipe book for Black SGs for tailgates, right? Like we all have things like, oh man, like because I'll be going to some of your tailgates and like you know I've seen people do the full pigs and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, hi, like this is a great idea. How do you do that? And how much space? Like in some people. They're like, yo, you don't really need that much space. And some people, you know, they go to the means and they, you know, camp out overnight and bury stuff in the woods and comes up and it's perfect. But like those type of recipes where next time you have a tailgate, you can go, yo, I'm going to try this thing that the Ebony's put me on last time I was down there. Right. Like that's how you make that. That also enhances because they might bring out people in your community that may otherwise like, oh, wait, we're doing pigs now. Okay. We're doing a whole pig. All right. Let me pull up.
Right. Let me come to your city and make a whole hog. We'll have so much fun.
I like that idea though. But and you can do that digitally, so it's easy to share.
I think to that point, even like a chronicling our own history, like the history of the Henny Derby, like the history of Black Fires, like the history of Rose Room Collective. I think just because that's a big problem in soccer in general. I don't think people are really keeping track of what's going on, and like. If it's a problem for white people, they're definitely not going to want us like to ask us to be in that stuff. So I think just having our own book of our own history and just like combining together and making it, you know, ourselves kind of thing would be cool.
Word, word. Oh, Sills, did you have a suggestion or something?
No, no, it's okay.
Oh, what? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Okay, just wait.
I don't have a suggestion.
All right, and the last question, as we wrap this on up, what would you like to see that be empowered to build Black community in your own city to do yourself? Like, what kind of support or what would you like to see money. Or feel?
Oh, I would like to see money. I would like to feel money. I would like to hold money. I would like to cradle it like a baby. money solves everything. They say money doesn't solve, like, you can't buy happiness. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Give me it.
Yeah, money doesn't buy happiness. We can test that theory if you want to.
Yeah, right. But have you tried? Yeah.
It can solve a lot of problems, at least.
Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy another closet of jerseys.
Word, word.
Amen.
All right, so what y'all gonna do with that money? Y'all gonna be throwing money off the Raptors? Y'all gonna have the performing artist at the
tailgate? See, that's a Yogi question, because Yogi has a strip club in every stadium.
What?
Not Yogi's plan from Inter Miami.
Cocaine white jerseys.
You never ever ask a dude from Richmond that type of stuff. It's not
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that strip club idea, because it'd be all up the strip club corridor from Atlanta to Miami.
You get right there.
Welcome back, Jermaine.
Cutting up, and he not even here.
Sorry, y'all.
Wait. Question for you: what would you like to see to be empowered into Miami to do great things, build you some Black community?
I guess my answer is dependent upon Black Herons kind of reaching out more into the community, but seeing kind of like that reciprocated from the community, like tapping into the hip hop radio stations, like getting a shout out, or tapping into, you know, Black restaurants, you know, just kind of making more of a relationship with the community institutions that exist, right? Rather than just kind of existing as a lone institution, right? Why not tap into what already exists and kind of support each other? But I think more broadly, I think like a general network of Black SGs, you know, POC SGs, right? That that we've talked about in the past, right? I think just having a solid network would be incredibly helpful. You know, just kind of bouncing ideas off of each other, but also pooling resources together as well.
Oh, word. That sounds interesting. That sounds interesting.
One of my goals is to make a Black SG that's for all individuals, not just for Courage, because, you know, there are Black fans that don't have a spot in every market.
Oh, interesting. So,
that's something for later after I get all this craziness out of the way. But
I don't think it has to be later. We'll revisit that in the very near future.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
This is new to me too, y'all. So
wait, I was gonna say. I did want to note that Jermaine also said to do virtual watch parties, so we can roast each other when your team loses. Not like last week, because I'm glad if I wasn't on no phone with nobody, I would have been pissed. And we lost. But, you know, having virtual watch parties would be dope. Well, that's really it. That's the end of the questions I got. Y'all got any shout outs? Y'all got any people y'all want to dedicate songs to? You got any upcoming events as we are in the NWSL season, MLS season? What's good?
I'll shout out Tigers in LA. I think the Asian American issue is very close to the Black issue. And yeah, I think they fight a lot of the fights that we have to. So shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to the Tigers. What's good, Josh?
For sure.
Anybody else got some shout outs?
Shout out to all the Black people.
Shout out to us for still being here. It's been rough. And yet we still are standing. We're still doing what we gotta do. One way or another.
Still our rise.
That's gonna do Antoine Fisher. I'm still here. I'm still standing. Sorry.
Throw all the quotes you can in there. We still here.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely a big shout out to all y'all. I mean, we got some serious OGs in the room. you know, Black Fires, Rose Room, y'all kind of set the example for, you know, for Black Karens. Of course, Footy Mob down there in Atlanta. Shout out to the whole 2 Cents crew. Just all the different, you know, Black podcasts, Black Soccer podcasts, FTC, Walking 90, Diaspora United, of course, Shea Butter. Just everyone's just kind of creating and building this space together. And it's just, you know, just beautiful to be a part of. So shout out to everyone here.
I was going to say, shout out to the network that you know, 2 Cents created, Shea Butter, that you've created. Like, the fact that it was start out with the two of you, Sky and Sills, and now it's a whole, like, network within itself just shows how much work you've put in on this. And it deserves to be amplified and to the heavens with all this. So thanks for putting this on. Thanks for having me as part of it.
Yeah. Like,
for real.
Yeah, appreciate y'all for coming through. Yeah, this is the one of many. This is like launching a series of all kind of crazy supporter stuff that's happening. There's a crazy Black people who are in Angel City version that's going to revolve around Chance. That's going to come in the very near future. I got to figure out how to demonstrate that.
I just want y'all to know I'm learning about all this at the same time.
The moment I hear it's anyone coming. Not Erica say 21, can you do something for
21.
Me?
21, actually.
I'm putting out that? Cultural well, appropriation.
We're going to talk about that. You're going to hear about that after I stop. But anyway, there's stuff coming. Audio, video, miniseries, however that's going to happen over the course of the year. And much love to Jermaine for helping work through a lot of these questions. We're going to do this again. So this ain't the first. This ain't the one-off. This is a for real. How do we... No,
this is the first.
Well, I mean, yeah, this ain't the first, the last. That's what I meant. You know what I meant? Shit. Thank you for calling. Why you didn't just let me go? Just go through it. Shit. This is the first of many to actually figure out, you know, how do we build Black community? How do we do the thing? If they ain't gonna do it, we can do it. Shit, we can kick it open the door. So, we got stuff coming up. Shea Butter. Dang, we can't. Can we announce yours situation?
No.
That's on Monday. Okay, never mind. Anyway, we got things that's coming. We got things to do. But anyway, thank y'all for coming through. If y'all don't got no more announcements, I guess we can close this out. So what we gonna do? We gonna stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And what we gonna keep the Black women, Black people in our life celebrated. Is that right?
Yeah, there you go. And make sure your Shea Butter palms are always elevated.
And stay Black and all that. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh, hell
all right,
nah.
Bye.
We're gonna say it with some excitement. Say
bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, appreciate y'all.
I'm not saying it like that.
There you go. Stand up for yourself, bro. Stand up for yourself.
All right, y'all. Peace out.
All in place, you know I'm hoping they light up. I've been watching pieces fall in place, you know I'm hoping they light up.